Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Welcome back, Sports to the Max. Twins win 8-4 in Boston on their home opener today. It was quite a game in a lot of different respects. Joining us now on the John Schuster Coldwell Banker Hotline, Dana Kicker, a one-time pitcher for the Boston Red Sox. Dana, I was thinking about you today as I watched. It was like 67 degrees. It was gorgeous out there, East Coast day. What's it like to be a Boston Red Sox at Fenway Park on opening day? You've experienced it.
Well, Mike, good evening, and thanks for the opportunity for me to be on. And, yeah, you're bringing back some fond memories, and man, for over 30 years ago, I don't feel that old.
But the stadium is still the same stadium. That's what makes it cool, you know?
It is, and what's really cool is that it's always sold out. You know, there's always buzz about opening day in every ballpark. But and I have, I mean, in my major league career, I think I opened in Detroit. I mean, we opened on the road. We opened in Detroit. There's been three or four, you know, different ballparks that I opened in, but it's just different in Fenway. I mean, there's just a buzz. The place is sold out. You know what? Everybody shows up too. You know,
yeah.
You hear about some of these attendants, and then you look, you watch it on TV, and it's maybe half full. And there's just an excitement every year. They're competitive to the point where, you know, there's high expectations for it and everything. But as you called me and asked me to be on, I was reflecting back a little bit, because when it happens, you know, you just, it's just the moment and everything.
You just do it,
And 1990 was really special in two different ways, because it was my first opening day. And when they announced the team, they announced them numerically after the manager, of course. And I wore number 19, and Carlos Quintana, who was our first baseman and had been a longtime minor league teammate of mine, was 18, you know, and he goes out there. It's his first opening day, and I'm waiting, you know, pitcher, number 19, and I take and start running out of the dugout over to the first baseline, and there's like a hush. Yeah. And I almost stopped to think, well, did I just get released?
Yeah. In your profession, yeah.
Well, and Schirmfeller, the longtime legendary PA announcer, he just choked, because the difficult thing for everybody out east, and Jerry Remy, bless his heart, he just passed away doing the color on TV. They didn't say their vowels very well. And with a first name of Dana ending in a vowel, it always came out Daner. And they wanted to always do the best they could to pronounce it properly. It was Daner Kicker. And Sherm says, I just choked because I was trying to say your name right, you know, and it took me until I got out to the line where he said my name. But then the next thing happened shortly after that. Number 20 was our backup catcher, John Marzano, and they announced his name, and our starting pitcher for the home opener in 1990. I'm going to ask you, guess who it was?
21, Roger Clemens.
You got it. So Roger Clemens warming up in the bullpen, and then there was a hush over the whole stadium, because what happened in 1986 in the World Series against the New York Mets in game five.
Was it? You mean when the ball went between his legs?
Yeah, Bill Buckner. So he never, I mean, he was banished from the team, from the town, from everything, but he came to spring training as a non-roster invitee, and he made the team.
Bill Buckner.
And he wore number 22.
Yeah.
And everybody's waiting to see how are they going to respond to Bill Buckner coming back to Boston.
I didn't realize this happened, and what happened?
That was standing ovation. They gave him, and not just a standing ovation, but I mean to the point where, I mean, it went on for like 30 seconds, which doesn't sound like a lot of time unless it's a football or base, you know, a basketball game. But I mean, it went on and on and on forever. So those are the two things that I remember most, you know, and he's just, I mean, two people down from, I mean, it was pretty cool. And,
was he choking up?
Go ahead.
Was he choking up? Could you tell he's moved?
Oh, yes. He had tears in his eyes because he did not know either. I mean, it was, I can tell you, between Bob Staley, who threw the pitch, and Bill Buckner, who let the ball go between his legs, there was just things done out of passion from passionate fans to those families that probably shouldn't have happened at that time. But those things really stick out. It's just a special place. It just really is. I mean, I love Target Field. I love a lot of ballparks, but it's kind of like sitting in the on the court seats at Target Center for a Timberwolves game. That's how it is watching a baseball game. You're that close to the action.
Yes, it's unique, and that green monster makes you feel even tighter and closer to it all. Now, today they played a baseball game there, and the Twins won it 8-4. But Joe Ryan, he was outstanding for the Twins today, and technically he's a rookie, but he pitched last year. He started the opener at home for the Twins, and a week later he gets the home opener in Fenway. He doesn't see, he's got nerves of steel or something, as they say, or big something. What do you see when you see it? Are there some guys that are just unaffected by that kind of a thing? And I guess the second part of that is, are the guys that played baseball but weren't really a fan of the game, they're just good at it, are they less affected by a situation like that than the guy that collected baseball cards?
Well, yeah, I think the latter is true. I watched him probably a number of times last year at the end of the season, and the first thing that I noticed is he's got swag. And when I say he's got swag, he's got confidence, but it's not an arrogant type of a confidence when he goes out there. And he hides the ball for a pitcher very, very well, and that allows him to elevate his pitches and pitch at the belt and do it in a way where right now hitters can't lay off of it. And for whatever reason, they're not seeing it out of his hands, and they just can't get on top of that ball. And either they're going to foul it off, or more times than not, they're swinging through. But I think the big thing is he attacks, or he works quick, and he throws strikes. How many walks did he have today? I'm going to ask you that first.
Last year, you only walked five guys the whole year?
That's the key. I was listening to a little bit, and Chris Atterbury, my former Saints play-by-play announcer, said he threw eight strikes in the first inning and got three outs. So you come out in that type of atmosphere, the fans, I mean, it was a playoff team last year, the crowd is into it, and you shut down the Red Sox on eight pitches, all strikes, I think a couple strikeouts, and then obviously, you know, a put-out. That right there kind of sets the tone for the game, and from what I understand, he continued to do that, you know, throughout the game. But he's got some confidence, and you have to. And I wish him well, because he, you know, he kind of fought through, put some pretty good numbers up, and I think the trade with Tampa Bay obviously was great for his career, and look at the opportunity he's getting now.
Dean, the kicker, is our guest, former Boston Red Sox pitcher, talking about opening day at Fenway, but opening day for the Twins, the second one. The Twins 3-4 now on the season. They had struggled up to this point to an extent. Carlos Correa does what for you? He has struggled offensively against small sample size, but you see what when you see him? What will he do for this team?
Kind of like what I just said. He brings some swag, and I don't know if they really had that swag before. Roger Clemens brought swag. Wade Boggs brought some swag. Dwight Evans. I mean, and what I say with that is there was just something when they were part of the team and they stepped on the field. It just raised the elevation of the whole team that much. And I think that's what it's going to bring to him. I think the biggest adjustment for him, I think, is going to be playing in what's been really inclement weather here early in the season. Because yep. You think about where he's played, he's been down in Houston, yep, in a controlled environment, and I'm sure that's going to take some time. And I saw a lot of players like him, you know, that really maybe struggled that first month, plus throw in all the high expectations. Everybody's expecting him to, you know, hit a home run every time. Heaven forbid he can ever make an error, because what did he win? Two different bronze gloves or gold gloves, yeah, or I don't know what they give out right now. So he's got quite a bit of pressure on him, but I would expect that he's going to step forward and certainly help this team. It's next to the catcher, I think it's the most important position on the field. So it's a great player in a very pivotal spot for the Twins this season.
Miguel Sano got his first hit of the year, a home run today. If you're pitching, you got Miguel Sano on your team. Are you okay with a guy that might hit 30 home runs and hit 220? Are those good numbers to you or not?
Well, the 30 home runs are really good. Mm-hmm. The high strikeouts is what's most concerning to me, because there's a lot of situations where I know he has come up and he has been unable to put the ball in play. And it's not always getting a hit that's going to make something happen. We're kind of going through that a little bit at Century College, where I'm coaching right now, where, you know, if you put the ball in play, a couple things can happen. Either they can make the play and get you out, or they maybe don't make the play and you're safe. But when you swing and miss, it really takes a lot of pressure off your defense and everything. So, I mean, he's just got to start making more contact. But maybe they're telling him, we just want you to swing for the fences, yeah, and hit. I mean, I'm going back. Didn't Dave Kingman hit like 50 home runs one year and set the major league record for strikeouts?
Yeah, something like that. I don't know if those are the exact name, but something like that. Yeah.
You know, and if that's what they want him to be, I guess then that's what he's going to do. But I like to put the pressure on the defense. I mean, the kid's big and strong. I'm sure when he does make contact, it's not going to be a dribbler. It's going to be a hard ground ball somewhere, and those aren't always fielded flawlessly. So he needs to make more contact, and you hear it from everybody else and go the other way. Otherwise, major league pitchers are pretty good. They'll continue to stay away from him and feed him those off-speed pitches, and that's what he's been struggling with.
Last question. You mentioned Century Community College. You're the pitching coach there. Have you played any games in Minnesota? What's this been like the last few weeks?
We have, and I got to correct you, because Brett Mitchell is our pitching coach, and I am the bench coach.
Enjoying
that. We're 13-13, and for Century, at this point right now, that isn't a good record. We very rarely lose 13 games, and very few fans are familiar with the program. But in the last 10 years, they've been national runners-up. I think they've been national fourth place finishers two times and fifth, and throw another third in there. But we've won 12 of our last 14 games. Our pitchers are cutting down on the walks. We just had a complete game shutout. We were supposed to play today and tomorrow. We pushed that off. But we've gotten our games in. Our field's ready to play right now, and our kids are probably playing as good a baseball as they have. So the next 6 weeks are going to be full, and I'm looking forward to it. We're doing the right things at the right time. And those 13 losses, we've learned what we needed to learn. That's what's most important. As long as we carry that through, it's going to help us once we get into postseason and hopefully make qualify for the national tournament again.
And it ain't Fairfax's ballpark, to be sure, but it's a nice yard they got there at Century, tucked away in the back through the woods, and it's a fun place to go to a game. Hey, Dana, thank you so much, and happy Easter to you.
Same to you, Mike. My pleasure.
Dana Kicker, nice enough to join us. That's a pretty good story, huh? Bill Buckner gets. I didn't realize that Buckner had come back as a non-Roth, made the team. That's pretty good stuff. I got another question for Tubbsy about today's game as it pertains to hustle in Major League Baseball. and lack of hustle, did it cause an injury today? Stay with us. Welcome back, Sports to the Max, News Talk 830 WCCO. Tubbsy, in today's game, the Twins beat the Boston Red Sox 8-4. The first batter of the game was Byron Buxton. He hit a kind of a bloop pop fly to shallow left field that when it went off his bat, you thought, well, that's an easy out. And all of a sudden, I don't know if it was lost in the sun or the wind, but either way, it fell harmlessly, and he figured that out about when he got to first base, turned it on, slid into second base, had to come out of the game with what they're terming knee soreness right now, and we don't know. Obviously, this has been the bugaboo for Buxton is his injury status and not being able to stay healthy and on the field. Some of that stuff is freakish. You know, it could happen to anyone. But I got to tell you, if he'd have been hustling out of the box, he'd have been standing on second base and never had to slide. He watched it kind of lazily as he jogged down to first base, and then he turned it up a notch, which is why he had to slide. He never should have had to. If he'd have been going all out right away, it would have been an easy double, and he'd have been standing on second base. If you're Rocco Baldelli, you do what to him when you look at that video?
I don't think you do anything.
Did you call him out for not hustling?
No, I don't think so. Because if you look at it, it looked like it was just a normal can of corn, right? Just a normal pop fly. And I mean, we see so many times on fly balls that, you know, sometimes, you know, guys, they don't hit it well. And 90% of the time it's going to be caught. If he doesn't get injured with that slide, I don't even think we're really talking about it, honestly.
But should we be, is my question. You know, is this one of those things where you got to go back to the basics and Little League and say, hey, assume they're not going to catch it. Assume the ground ball that they're going to bobble it. Assume that you got to go all out on every play.
No, I'm not going to read into it like that, Maxie. To me, it was a freakish thing when he slid. And I mean, it sounds
preventable. It's so preventable.
It is, but what would have happened if he would have gone in standing? And would
he'd be healthy and he'd be playing today.
Okay, but he would have been tagged out. So I guess there are two ways you can look at it.
No, he wouldn't have been tagged. If he'd have been going all
out.
Well,
that's true.
He just walks into second.
Yeah, and I'm not, I guess I'm not going to get upset about Byron Buxton, you know, not hustling out of the batter's box for what was going to be a routine fly ball. You know, once it dropped, then he went in there and gave it a shot. But again, if he doesn't injure himself on that slide, we're not even talking about this.
Right, but we wouldn't have to be talking about it if he had run hard and then he never had a slide.
Correct. But, and it's one of those chicken or the egg. We see it all the time, though. I mean, guys hit a lazy fly ball.
I'm going to tell you something. Another reason that I bring this up.
Mm-hmm.
Many years ago, Seattle Mariners are in town playing the Minnesota Twins at the Dome. Ryan Lefevre, broadcaster for Kansas City now, was playing for the Gophers at the time. His father, Jim, was the manager of the Mariners, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So we got this idea. Let's do a feature on Ryan, who used to suit up not a bat boy, but his dad would let him suit up and be in the dugout during the game, right? Ryan was in college, so he wasn't a bat boy. He was a great player at the University of Minnesota. So anyway, we're doing this feature story, and we're shooting him in the dugout. We might even have a wireless mic on him. I don't recall. Ken Griffey Jr. hits the ball at the Dome off the baggie in right field. Baggie in right field, right? It's a stand-up double, right? But it's really not because of the way the ball bounces. So he starts to jog into second base, never slides, barely makes it, okay? Barely gets to second base, almost tagged out because he didn't hustle. And he comes back in, and I mean Jim Lefevre lit him up. You know what I'm saying? He says, never again, that kind of a thing, right? And I'm thinking, well, would that apply today?
Yeah, and again, I just have a really hard time on a routine fly ball, because if that's the case, we see guys that don't run things out all the time. I mean,
correct.
You
yeah.
see, I mean,
no question. You see that, you know, that ball hit to the second baseman. It's a one hopper, and they go, I got no, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and we see all of the hustle plays that Byron Buxton makes. For him to not book it out of the box on what looked to be a routine fly ball. I'm not going to get all upset and hot under the collar over Byron Buxton not hustling out of the box for it. It was an unfortunate injury with an awkward slide that seems to be the reason for the injury, but I'm not going to blame this on, you know, him not hustling out of the box.
All right. Well, in our next production meeting, we're going to throw it around because I think this merits some more conversation.
We can kick it around.
All right,
for sure.
Jesse, when we come back, there's a big event going on at Target Field tomorrow. I don't know if you know about it or not, but we'll tell you about it when we come back. Welcome back. Joining us on the John Schuster Caldwell Banker hotline is Carol Lodge, Associate Commissioner, Minnesota Amateur Sports Commission. Did I say your name right?
It's Cara. You were close.
Carol Lodge.
Yes.
Okay, I got the last name right. Cara, not Kara. I got you. Okay, now we're good to go. Now,
appreciate it.
The Twins do not play at Target Field tomorrow, yet there is a big event going on at Target Field tomorrow. Explain.
There is. We are excited to be at the ballpark tomorrow for our second officiating expo tomorrow. It will be a referee recruitment event that has amateur sports organizations, recruiting officials across the board, everything from baseball and softball umpires, volleyball, soccer, tennis, state high school league sports. We're excited to get the group together.
So where will this take place? In one of the ancillary areas there, or do you bring them down on the field? What do you do?
We'll be in the Delta Sky 360 Club, so one of the best views in the park.
And you bring them in, and then what happens? Who speaks? What do you do?
Yep, so it'll be an open house style event. All the organizations will be set up tabling with officials and administrators from their organizations, and participants can come through and talk with all of the different sports that they're interested in, learn about how to become an official, all of the benefits of officiating, and just really get a feel for what it takes and everything about the officiating environment.
Carl, what do you think intimidates most people that you know, there's lots of people that are capable of being officials that don't. What is the missing step? What is the barrier, do you think?
I think a lot of times, frankly, just the rules of their sport intimidates them. You know, we all have a love for the game and we play, and sometimes I think since we were young, it just comes so naturally to us. And once you start actually looking through a rule book, you realize there's a lot more to that game happening in the background than you might have realized.
It ain't just common sense, right?
Right.
You got to know the rule. Does he get second base or not? Yeah.
Exactly.
How about, you know, we always hear the parent factor, that people don't want to be yelled at by parents. Is that huge, small? Where would you put that in perspective?
Yes, I'd say that's a primary concern, especially for our younger officials and their parents supporting them. I would say, you know, it's certainly an issue, and we've all had experiences with it, but these organizations that are working together, I've seen a real commitment to helping make a change in that area, especially with those young, inexperienced officials. All of these organizations have their back. Everyone's willing to help them out. We do a lot of work to help provide mentors. So we're doing a lot of work to help combat that.
Is there one sport that's easier to recruit to than others, or how do they rank, or is it all the same?
You know, there's a shortage across the board. I'd say it really just depends on who you're talking to. Some of the sports have a couple other barriers, like hockey, for example. If you don't already know how to skate,
yeah,
that's
could
going
be a
to
problem.
Be another yep. element. Yep. Exactly. Yep.
Basketball, they've always said, is the toughest one because, you know, everybody thinks they're an expert because they're so close to the court. Do you find that?
Yeah, I think I've heard from a lot of basketball officials that they just kind of approach their interactions differently than when they're officiating other sports. As you become more seasoned, I think they start to get used to those kind of culture shifts as they're working games.
So, one of the things, one of the initiatives that has been, I don't want to say toyed with, because they've had some very direct plans on it, but is to get younger people officiating. Now, we don't think of it that way. Well, I say, adults, etc. But if you can get people interested in officiating at age 17, 18, so many people that are really pretty good athletes never play college sports, but they understand the game because they played a lot in high school, and to target those kids. And, I'm a product of, I was an umpire for 4 years when I started in college, and I worked town ball and legion ball and high school ball and everything else. And I just thought it was one of the greatest experiences on two fronts, Carl. One is, obviously, you get paid money, and at that time, it seemed like a lot of money to me, $50 a game, whatever it was. Yeah. And number two, you had to negotiate tense situations many times, and I thought, what better training tool is there for the real world than to be in the middle of conflict like that in the best possible sense? That's why I just shout this out to kids that are thinking about, it is a value. I mean, if I'm an employer and I see that you can handle umpiring for 4 or 5 years, you got something, right?
Exactly. It's huge. Professional development opportunity that I think people don't look at it that way. I know when we hire interns, for example, if we see that they were able to make it through officiating, we know that they have the tenacity and the love for the game and some of those people skills and time management skills that employers are definitely looking for.
Yeah, because if you can keep your cool when two teams are not, That's a pretty good asset to bring to the table.
Exactly.
Yeah. So tomorrow they'll meet with the different associations, and if somebody's out there listening and they go, well, this is overwhelming to me because I don't know what sport I'd referee, and I don't know, I've kind of thought about it, but I don't really know where I'd fit in this thing. You can just come there with a whole bunch of questions, right? You don't need to. This isn't something where they're signing you up for the military and they're going to give you a haircut when you're done, right?
Absolutely. It's completely conversational. I mean, of course, people are happy to get you signed up and registered if you're ready for it. Otherwise, we're just opening up the conversation, getting people comfortable with the possibility and giving people the tools and the resources to sign up or to learn more if they're looking for it.
You know, another thing about a car that maybe young people don't realize is in this profession in particular, the veterans are more than happy. In fact, they welcome tutoring and helping young officials, maybe like very few other professions in sports. They really do take this seriously and want to see young people succeed in it. And they are open books to make you better and do it in a non-threatening way.
Absolutely. I've never met a referee that didn't want to share their experiences and help others.
Yeah, and they enjoy the conversation, and they enjoy helping people, and that's a valuable tool. So if people want to come out there tomorrow and partake, they don't have to be signed up right now, right? They can just show up?
Correct. Yep, they can check out our website if they want, playtogethermn.org, and register there if they'd like. But otherwise, it's open house, walk-ins are welcome, and we're happy to help walk you through it once you get there.
Okay, I'm going to ask one more question. This is important because I've been to a number of different get-togethers at Target Field. Where should they park and where should they go to get in? Because you never know what entrance is the magic entrance.
Definitely. So Ramp A is where we're directing people, and they can enter from Ramp A through the Skyway or from the stairs just outside the ballpark by the clubhouse store is kind of where that Skyway access is.
So the clubhouse store is the focal point, and if you get there, you're close, right? And then you look up,
yes,
and there's the Skyway, and that's where you need to be. I believe that's the way I've done it before to get to the Delta.
Yes, correct.
Okay. Kara, thank you so much, and good luck with it tomorrow. But you cannot take batting practice on the field, correct?
Unfortunately not, but we'll find other ways to entertain.
Yeah, unless you sign up right there and then you get to go out and field fly balls. Now, thank you so much, though, and have a great day tomorrow.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
You bet, Carl Lotch. It's a great profession, folks. I'm just telling you, if you're 17, 18, 19 years old and you want to expand yourself, meet good people, put yourself in uncomfortable situations that will benefit you down the road. If you ain't leaving your comfort zone, you're not growing, man. If you're not leaving it, you're just staying the same. You don't want to stay the same because you only get to be on this earth for a short while. And while you're here, you want to find out exactly what it was that you could be. That you don't want to be just potential. You don't want to die with potential. You want to die knowing that you're spent. When I fall across that final finish line, I want to fall across the finish line. I want to lay there and go to my death and say, that's it, man. That is everything that I got has been used. The gas tank is empty. I am done. I am finished. And I have nothing left to give or to find out about myself. That's all I want. Back after this. Welcome back, Sports to the Max. Big weekend coming up. You know, Tubbsy, you don't see this very often. A April afternoon, and you have to choose between the Wild, the Timberwolves, and the Twins. I mean, that doesn't happen very often. You know, obviously one had to land in the playoffs. The Wild season is extended because the NHL is, et cetera, et cetera. That's a tough call. Which one are you going to watch, all things being equal?
Wolves.
Was because of the magnitude of it?
Yeah, I think at this point, because you get the Wolves in the playoffs, and I mean, the Twins...
And it's game one, which is going to tell you something.
Absolutely. Twins, regular season, I mean, it's...
It is Boston, that's fun.
It is, but at the end of the day, I mean, a playoff game is just different. I mean, the Wild...
And the Wild, the interesting thing is they're playing St. Louis, who they're probably going to have to deal with in the playoffs.
Yeah, I mean, those two teams are neck and neck for the 2 and 3 spot behind Colorado. So,
yeah, and so really what you're playing for is home ice.
Yeah, you're playing for home ice. But it's hard for me to look at the Wolves in the playoffs and think that I'm going to watch a regular season anything else over a Wolves playoff
game. I'm with you 100%, but it is interesting because those are three pretty good options.
Well, I mean, the fact that we've got a Wolves playoff game.
Yeah.
I mean, we don't start sentences around these parts with a Wolves playoff game or play in game, play any game. I mean, it's end of the regular season and, you know, okay, let's talk about where the ping pong balls are going to land in the lottery.
Yep. Yep, and here we go again, right?
Yeah, I'm going Wolves. You know, we may channel flip back and forth. We're going to go see my mom and stepdad down in Ballatin. It's a small town outside of, you know, about 15 miles outside of Marshall. So
okay, let's just say this is tradition. Let's just say it's a week from Thursday or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And you got those three teams playing, which could happen in theory, and the NFL draft. What do you watch?
Oh, boy. I'd probably watch the game up until the point that the Vikings would pick, and then I would switch over.
Yep.
And then, depending on the Vikings, if they made their pick, make the pick, and then, you know, I'd go back to the game. Or I would, you know, I would also actually, you know, sit and open up the Odyssey app, and I would listen to the Wolves, you know, the Wolves and the Twins.
I get it. I mean, I get that you can access everything at once. But my point or premise,
if I have one,
what would you be drawn to first? You know, what's your first instinct? And one of the amazing things about the NFL is the NFL draft now, it's so powerful.
Oh, yeah.
Teams are scheduling around it. They're playing afternoon games in Major League Baseball, and they're trying to avoid it in the playoffs for basketball.
Well, I mean,
because the NFL draft, which is not even a game, is that powerful as a component.
It's at the point now, Maxie, where cities are bidding on the NFL draft.
The NFL draft.
To have the draft.
Yes.
I mean, and to me, the draft isn't even the most ridiculous thing that the NFL has us wrapped around their finger.
What is?
The schedule release.
Oh, yeah. That's
We get all excited and frothing at the mouth
over a schedule. Remember this, too. They already know who they're going to play. The schedule release just tells you when they're going to play.
Yeah, when. Exactly. We know who the home opponents are. We know who the road opponents are. But we don't know when. And then instantly it's like, oh, man, look at this. You know, Vikings
November 17th, San Francisco and Seattle. That one could decide
it. Yeah, Vikings are going to go 14-3. And it's like, I understand, like, we want to talk about them. But it's like, to me, it's just, The NFL has got us excited about a schedule.
I know.
Like I mean,
and they didn't even try to. You know, it's just everybody said all of a sudden ESPN does a schedule, and everybody goes, "Oh, I got to see the," you know, and pretty soon everybody's buzzing about it.
I mean, Maxie, would you agree that we're lemmings?
Yes.
I mean, we are 100% lemmings.
Whole point to this, you know?
Yeah. So I'll watch. As long as the Wolves are in the playoffs, they are going to be my priority viewing.
Unless it's game five and they're down 3-1 and they're down in the first half, something like that.
I'll probably still watch until I know that there's no hope. But I'm going to hold out hope with this team. I'm cautiously optimistic. I know I should not be because history says do not get optimistic about men's professional sports in this market. But I am going to choose to be optimistic about their matchup. And as long as they're playing.
Why not, right?
Well, I mean, when's the last time we've had a chance to feel this and look at it and be like, you know what? The numbers, analytically, how they match up, you don't feel like they're going to get boat raced. I feel like they've got a legit shot to contend with Memphis. And if you take one out of two, if you take tomorrow or you take Tuesday, guess what? You come back to Target Center for two.
For the playoff towel treatment.
Absolutely. I mean, if you can split on the road.
I do think the hidden component here is that people really don't understand Memphis and how good they are, you know? Because you don't really, you know, it's not a team you know a lot about unless you really study the NBA.
Right, but I mean, if you look at how the Wolves have played them this year too.
2-2.
Like, yeah, and the Wolves, like, the numbers trend towards some of the strengths for the Timberwolves. The one thing the Wolves don't do.
Don't do this to us.
No.
You're going to get us all excited here.
No, I'm saying the one thing the Wolves don't do against Memphis is, I think Memphis set an NBA record, a season high for offensive rebounds in a game against the Wolves. I think
they played volleyball one night with them. You know?
I know. I think they had like 110 or something like that. I mean, it was just ridiculous how, I mean, Wally Szczerbiak and, you know, Googs, they weren't boxing out at all. I mean, you know, Anthony Peeler had no shot.
Well, we're going down the memory lane now.
You know, Bryant Reeves is not walking through that door, okay?
Bryant Reeves is a big country, man.
Big country, you got
it. He's got a big ranch down there now in Oklahoma, and he used to scout in the NBA.
Did he really?
Yeah. But
okay.
He's got a big ranch, and he raises, you know, a couple thousand head, as they say down there, right?
Good for him.
But my last point to this, Tubbsy, is all of us here in Minnesota, at some point in time, and many of you will be drawn to church anyway, say thank you if you're a sports fan. Because it's pretty cool that we live in a city where, you know, despite the woes and the no championships, you get this many teams and this many options and this many big league opportunities to be a fan. And that's pretty unique, and we should be thankful for that.
We've got it pretty good, all things considered.
We've got it pretty good, all things considered. That's my point.
Yep.
All right, buddy. Appreciate it. Have a great weekend.
You too, Maxie. We'll catch you Monday.
He's Chris Tubbs. I'm Mike Max, the Lake Man, Henry Lake, coming up next.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Once upon a mundane morning, Barb's day got busy without warning. A realtor in need of an open house sign? No, 50 of them, and designed before 9.
My head hurts.
Any mighty tools to help with this plight?
Aha!
Barb made her move. She opened Canva and got in the groove.
Bulk creating Canva sheets. Create 50 signs fit for suburban streets.
Done in a click, all complete.
Sweet!
Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at Canva.com.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin, but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.